Okay, now you're here because they removed a tumor?
Right. It was a nerve tumor in the, right in the groin area and the femoral nerve. It was actually at the site of an old kidney transplant where I had been given hard radiation as part of one of their experiments. They just did about 20 different experiments on me back then. I was just a little guinea pig for them. And,
hard radiation?
Certain kind of particles that really zap you. Not like x-rays or something like that, like gamma rays or whatever they call them.
Do you have the papers on any of this?
I lost all that stuff, so I don't know what happened to it.
Okay, so
they never even charted. I mean, their charting is so minimal, it's already.
When was the tumor first discovered?
Just this year, in March of this year. Now, that's another aspect of it. This was found in March of this year on a CAT scan, because I've been having some problems in that area, and the doctor decided, well, you know, we're going to look in there and see what the heck's going on, you know. So they did, and boom, there it was this thing. It was a 2-centimeter diameter lump. You know, about this, like, a small tangerine kind of thing. And they told me, oh, this is no big deal. You know, we'll have this, you know, our local general surgeon take that out in a week or so, and, you know, everything's copacetic, you know, no problem. And I said, well, I'm worried about it because, you know, if it's on a nerve, because they did a biopsy and they found it was a nerve tumor right away, I said, well, I'm worried that, you know, they go in there cutting on a nerve, that's going to affect my leg, and my leg's going to be real weak, and I might not be able to walk very well. And they told me, oh, no, that's impossible. That couldn't possibly happen. Well, I waited. This particular doctor that was supposed to do it, he just happened to be going on vacation at that time. So I had to wait 3 weeks to get in to see him. So I get in to see him. He pulls out the pictures and throws them up there. Well, first of all, they tell me it was the size of a marble. Well, it wasn't the size of a marble. It's more like the size of a, you know, small egg, you know. I mean, it was pretty substantial, you know, considering the small area that it was in, for one thing. And I could already see how it was pushing out the bowel. And, you know, this guy says, well, okay, I'm going to do this in about 2 or 3 weeks. So the thing is, it keeps getting pushed up and pushed up right from the beginning. And what they should have done right from the beginning was send me to a neurologist or a neurosurgeon to have it evaluated, not the general surgeon, because it was a nerve tumor. Obviously, a neurosurgeon would have to deal with it. And what they should have done right off the bat was write a letter to a neurosurgeon and refer me over, which used to happen in the old days. Now, everything's different. So what they did was they just passed it off to this general surgeon, and what he did was, well, you know, he decided he didn't want to do it, and he showed it to the local neurosurgeon in Santa Rosa, and he decided he didn't want to do it. So they said, well, this guy down at UCSF is the guy to do it, because he's done a lot of these, and he's the best guy in the West Coast to do it. So, you know, send you down there. So they told me, okay, we're referring you down there. If you don't hear from him in a week, call us back. So there I go. Well, another week goes by. So I didn't hear anything, obviously. So I called down there, and they basically didn't know anything about it. And basically told me, not only don't we know anything about it, we're not going to tell you anything about it, and you're basically going to have to wait, and we'll call you when we're ready to call you. So, you know, I called back to the general surgeon, and I go, well, you know, what's the deal, you know, and, well, we sent the chart down there, and, you know, we don't really know anything else about it. Why don't you call your original doctor back, you know? So I call them back, and, you know, it takes them, you know, a couple weeks to, you know, get out of there. Inertia and call down to the doctor and say, hey, you know, this is kind of a serious thing, you know, can you check into it? So then, you know, it took them about maybe another week after that to dig out my chart, because supposedly this guy, he's a you know, teacher, he's one of these top notch professor doctors, educators, and you know, the teaching hospital, so he goes around and you know, instructs all these residents. So he only was actually in the office one day, so I had to wait for that particular day, and it took a couple weeks for him to get around to it. So then he pulls out my chart, and it turns out they hadn't sent the pictures.
Well, I get a call from this general surgeon who I'd gone to in the first place, and they said, well, you know, we got a call from the neurosurgeon that he didn't have the pictures. He didn't get the pictures, so how about if you come by and pick up the pictures and drive them down there and drop them off for them? I'm going, man, this sure is a little bit unusual, you know, don't you think? You know, I mean, isn't that part of your guys' job? Don't you know how to do that? Well, we don't have any envelopes, you know. We don't, you know, basically the lady sounded like she didn't know what the fuck she was doing. So I said, okay, whatever.
What is it? Are we in Bulgaria all of a sudden?
Yeah. So I said, whatever, I'll come and get them. But then the next day I was in the clinic and I told the doctor there about them. And she said, okay, well, don't worry about it, I'll do it. But then it took them another 2 weeks again to get the pictures down there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started in with this, you know, when they were going to be able to do it, because he needed to have this other particular doctor. He couldn't do the surgery alone. He had to have this other particular doctor to come in and open up the area, another general surgeon, and it was like his partner, and they had to coordinate their schedules. And but they both happened to be on vacation. Like, this was like now we're getting up to like the beginning of July.
Uh-huh.
And so it was just put off. And then, you know, finally they told me, well, look, you know, we can either do this on August 4th or August 25th. And by this time, I had been putting off this other, I had to have this other surgery on my hand, this carpal tunnel surgery,
mm-hmm.
which I was supposed to have in December, but I had to keep putting that off because of other problems that kept coming up, and this was one of them. But the first one was because they ran my blood count too high and caused heart problems, and there was no way I could get surgery when I had heart problems. So I had to wait till that quit up, but that was like 2 months. And then I was so run down, I had the flu for about 2 months. And then they found a tumor. And then I was thinking, oh, well, they're going to do this tumor thing, so I have to keep putting it off a little bit more. But it finally got to the point where it was getting so bad that I just said, forget it, I'm going in, I'm going to get this thing done. And that was going to be like July 31st. And this tumor thing had just been kind of pretty stable, so I figured, well, you know, I've made it this far, I can make it to August 25th.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem was, it would just pick right at that particular time to start getting really bad to the point where I really couldn't eat properly. So I went in for this carpal tunnel surgery and I was already sick, so I couldn't have that carpal tunnel surgery. So now my right hand is like really bad, and it never would have been this bad if anything had gone right from the beginning. I mean,
mm-hmm.
this is just an endless tale of super incompetence. And, you know, despondency.
So why are these tubes coming? You have three different tubes coming up.
I have
two from
one on the right and one on the left. Well, the one on the right goes down.
Two on the right.
Yeah, I think it's just a double one, but it goes down into the artery, and this one just goes into a vein. Now, I don't know why they have all those down there. They've never really told me.
Have they actually used them?
But they've used the right one, but they haven't used the left one. And, they've told me that they didn't even need them. And they were going to pull them out. They've been telling me they were going to pull at least one of them out for like the past 3 days, but they just never did. Plus, those are hurting my neck and hurting my arms,
mm-hmm.
and just making me even a little more miserable, you know, just all the way down the line, you know, just making me a little more miserable.
Yeah.
And
also, all the time you're here, you've never had any real community outreach, people, someone coming up once a day to ask how you are, to play cards, or ask if they...
Oh, no.
No advocacy support.
No, they basically just tossed me in the bed. After the surgery, they just tossed me in the bed. They didn't give me the pain control that we had agreed upon.
Mm-hmm.
I was supposed to have a morphine pump, and...
Now, this was in the doctor's instructions.
Well, I didn't see it written down, but I had talked to three different people about it, and there was, you know, as far as I knew, it was agreed upon that that was what was going to happen. And I thought that was the purpose of them coming in and talking to me about it, to find out, you know, to agree on what was going to happen. And then when I got out, it wasn't happening at all, and they were trying to pawn me off with Vicodin, which I cannot even take.
Yeah, so you were the patient, the least important aspect of the whole scenario.
Yeah, exactly. So that first whole day when I should have, you know, been concentrating on pain control and getting started moving a little bit, I was just knocked down with the pain.